This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And it's going to be light this hour, and it might end up being heavy this hour.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Sean Spicer isn't heavy. I guess I take that back. He might be heavy right now. I don't know how he's been eating, but he is awesome. He's the host of the Sean Spicer Show. And it's not like anyone has to introduce Sean Spicer. Everyone knows who friggin' Sean Spicer is. And we have a Trump-Biden debate coming. Anyway, joining me now, my friend Sean Spicer. Sean, are they going to let Joe Biden sit down for this whole thing?
By the way, I'm putting the chips down. You just guilt shame me. I had like
sorry.
I had a whole new bag ready to go, and I'm like, Jesse, I'm putting the chips down. Now I'm going to go for a walk after this interview. Oh my God, you guilt shame me on a Thursday. God, just when I was excited to end the day, it's the longest day of the year. I thought I earned it, but no, Jesse Kelly's shaming me. Look, they're not going to let the, I'm speaking of chips, maybe I'll save these because I'm so excited for this debate. I think that the Biden team is going to regret it. I don't care. I think President Trump should walk in and say, you want to sit down? You want to lie down? You want to stand up? I don't care. I'm going to give you a relaxing chair and a MyPillow for Mike Lindell. Lie on down and do what you want because I'm going to run circles around you. I don't think this is going to end up being the game changer that the Biden team had hoped it would, because reading a teleprompter for an hour is one thing. Going against Donald Trump and having to think on your feet is quite another.
Okay, Sean, I know this, obviously, it's going to be difficult for me. I don't know if it'll be difficult for you to approach it from Biden's perspective. Like you said, they need a game changer. The narrative is all bad right now. He's pooping his pants in public. He's wandering around. His approval numbers are in the toilet. It's a disaster. But how would they think they could get one? What do they think they're going to get out of a Biden-Trump debate? Are they going to try to rattle Trump? What is a win for Team Biden?
It's a great question that you're asking, and one that I frankly have been very concerned about, because a normal win is a completely different question. A win for Joe Biden, because the bar is so low, is literally showing up. If he can stand up and say, good evening, my name is Joe Biden, the press will declare that a win. Trust me, they're going to say he's left for Camp David already. This is not a right-wing talking point or some kind of hyperbole. They sent him off to Camp David. He's going to rest for whatever that is now, 7 days, and he'll come out. And I think that we should stop. Look, Jesse, he was in the Senate for like 30-something years and been in politics for 50. The guy knows how to debate, and anybody can rest for 7 days and then come out of a cocoon and be ready to go. And I think we've got to be careful that we don't give the press the excuse that he walked over the bar because he merely got up and said his name correctly. So I actually do have higher expectations for what he needs to do next week, because he is, you know, this is a guy who's been in the game for a long time. And we're trying to say, well, it's Donald Trump and he's really good at what he does, and Biden's been rolling around, can't get off the big stairs. But at the end of the day, I think we cannot give the media an excuse to call this a win.
Okay, so we know the media is evil. We know they're going to stack the deck against Trump. We get all that. For Trump, like for me, Trump doesn't need to get up there and perform for me. I want to see Donald Trump just stomp Joe Biden. Obviously, not literally. I want to see him stomp Joe Biden into the ground in a figurative manner on a political debate stage. But he doesn't need to campaign for me. What does Trump need to do? What's the smart thing for Trump to do?
By the way, I love the way that you introduced that, because you know the media, or Jesse Kelly said that Trump's going to stomp him.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Like, you have to say figuratively, I don't really mean that. So yeah, that when they take this out of context at the Daily Beast, they understand that you weren't being serious. What Trump needs to do, if I were him, I'd get up there and just say, closed border, economic security, less chaos in the world, over to you, Joe. He literally just needs to, in the most simple terms, draw the contrast between his 4 years and Joe Biden's almost 4 years. Full stop. Once people recognize the difference, and most of them do already, it's a non-issue. If he gets into name calling and stuff like that, I get it. It's probably more entertaining, but I don't think it's, I think it's a missed opportunity. Biden cannot compete. The only thing that he has, and watch this, just trust me on this. There's two things that are going to come out of Biden's mouth, abortion and democracy. And those are the only two themes that they can touch on. And they will try to say them over and over again. They're going to be like, good evening, welcome to the debate. And Biden's going to go, abortion, democracy. That's all they have. That's it. Full stop. And so Trump just needs to remind people the world is more chaotic. It's less safe. Our economic security is not what it was. Our border is open. More drugs are flowing through. We are not energy secure anymore. Full stop. And everyone goes, you're right. I'm voting for you again.
Speaking with Sean Spicer of the Sean Spicer Show. Sean, how would you, if you were still in his ear, how would you tell him to handle the stolen election question? Because obviously, you know, they're going to try to back him in a corner with that. And you know why? The American people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about a stolen election. Doesn't matter what I believe or what he believes. The American people do not want to hear about that. But Trump definitely does believe it all the way. And he's not shy about talking about it. What's the smart way for him to talk about it?
So here's the deal. Elections are about the future. When you are voting for a politician, you're essentially hiring an employee who says, I'm going to make your life better in these variety of ways. Or if things were going well, to keep things going well. Clearly, they're not going well. So Trump has to say, Biden comes at him, if we want to role play this for a second, and goes, Donald Trump, January 6th, you continue to fight a stolen election. I would say, you know what, Mr. President, here's the deal. You want to focus on January 6th. You want to focus on January 2020. I want to focus on the future for the American people. That's the one thing you don't want to talk about, because we have an open border. We're less chaotic. We're more chaotic than we were, less secure. We're less safe than we are under you. So you can keep talking about the past. I will focus on the future, because I've done it once and I'll do it again. And that's it. If he tries to relitigate this, I agree with you 100%. People don't want to litigate the past. They might be pissed. Every single person who's listening to you right now that says, but it was stolen, but I do care, you're already voting for him. That's the thing that people have to remember. I've been doing this a long time, and once in a while people would walk up to me and say, you know, we don't like the ad that your campaign just put out. It's not wooing me. It's not. And I go, guess what? You're with us. That ad's not for you. The ad isn't trying to get people who are with us to double down with us. They're trying to bring more people on board, and that's who we have figured out what message, you know, within this group works with them. So Trump needs to focus on the people that are going to put him over the top in the battleground state and not worry about doubling down on people that are already with him. And to me, it's about the future, not about the past. And he just needs to focus on that and pivot every time and say, I know you want to talk about the past. I want to talk about the future. You don't want to talk about your record. I'll talk about mine, and I'll talk about how I will make America great again.
Sean, what's the food situation like in the White House? And I mean it this way, and I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm genuinely curious. You're Sean Spicer. You're the big shot in the White House. Do you just get to walk into, I'm assuming there's a big kitchen. Can you walk in and say, yeah, make my favorite spaghetti? Do you have to pay for it? Is it good? Is it kind of cafeteria food crap? What are we dealing with?
So this is the first time anyone's asked me about this, and it's a great question. So there's two places that you can eat, if you will, while you work at the White House. The one is there's a cafeteria in the old executive office building. That's the building next to the White House proper, where about 95% of the White House staff actually works. There's a cafeteria down there. It's got buffet lines. You know, you get pasta. Sometimes there's sandwiches, whatever, your normal cafeteria. Then within the White House, there's a Navy mess. It's a takeout window with a little dining room off to the side. They have a menu every day. You can go down if you're a senior senior White House official, of which the press secretary is one, and you pay for everything. So whatever you order. The funny part about the story is this. Every day, like, I am a routine guy, Jesse. I eat pretty much the same thing every day for breakfast, lunch, you know, and then obviously dinner changes depending on the family. But back at the White House, I would eat the same thing. Just, it makes life easy. You don't have to worry about it, whatever. So for lunch, I would have a blackened piece of salmon on a bed of lettuce every day. I know that's so unbelievably exciting, but I was trying to be healthy, back to my bag of chips story at the beginning. And that was it. That's what I would have. And so the funny part about this is, at the end of my tenure at the White House, somebody who worked with me said they called that out. I'd pick up the phone. It would say, you know, if the briefing was at 2 o'clock at about 12:31, I'd call down and I'd say, hey, it's Sean. Can I get my usual just blackened salmon on a bed of lettuce? And they were like, absolutely. And who knows what it's like, $15 or something. And you put on your bill and then they charge you for it every week or month or whatever it was. After I leave the White House, I was having this discussion about what I had been eating for lunch every day with one of the folks. And they said to me, you do realize they don't have blackened salmon, like a salad or, and I said, what do you mean? They said they did that because of you. Because you would call down every day. And I said, what are you talking about? Like, I just sort of, and they were like, right, well, when you're that senior, the assistants to the president, there's about 12 of them, 15 of them. And that's how high your rank is. The White House chief of staff, the national security advisor, the White House press secretary. You are an assistant to the president. It's what they call a commissioned officer. And then there's deputy assistants to the president and special assistants to the president. And it's like a rank. It truly is a rank. But because I was so high in rank, and remember, it wasn't me, it's the job, the office of the press secretary, that they were like, sure, if that's what you want, we will cook that for you every day. And so they would keep a piece of salmon aside every day for my lunch. And I thought, oh my God, I went down and thanked all these guys before I left. I said, I just found out you guys have been doing this and God bless you. I really appreciate everything. But it's those small things that they do in the White House. That's the extent of the perk, if you will, right? I mean, I still pay for it every day, but I laughed so hard when I found that out because I was trying to be healthy and I'm telling a colleague and the guy's like, you do know they don't make that for anyone else. It's not on the menu. No one else gets it. And, again, it's not like it was some fondue thing where they're cooking for 4 hours. It's a piece of salmon and they're blackening it. But I just got the biggest kick out of the fact that I thought, oh, okay, I'm just going to order this. Like, you know, because they were like, Mr. Spicer, what do you want for lunch? And I was like, blackened salmon on a bed of lettuce. Okay, sir, we'll get that. And had cucumbers or whatever. It was healthy. But I just got a kick out of the fact. It was never, ever on the menu. No one ever told me I couldn't do that. And so,
I can't believe you, Sean. I can't believe. What a prima donna. Just decides to makes them bring in their own fish. You know why they made it for you, Sean? They felt bad for you because you could order whatever you wanted and you chose something lame like salmon. So that's probably why they did it for you. Spicer of the Sean Spicer Show. I'm up against the break. My brother, you are the best. You come back anytime. Sean's the best. All right, quit. I have to talk about food next. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. The week is almost over. And you just missed Sean Spicer if you're just now joining us. And he was awesome. Go tune into that. And he got me thinking. We were talking about food and things like that. Something happened to me this morning. We'll get back to politics here in a moment. But something happened to me, and it was devastating, but it's also a valuable lesson, especially for the kids out there. But honestly, in this day and age, it's a lesson for everybody, and it really genuinely is. So just hang with me. I had to take my boys to their workouts this morning, and I did what any red-blooded American would do. I dropped them off at their workouts, and then I drove towards my favorite breakfast taco place, which here in Texas is, of course, in a gas station. These three Mexican women working here in a gas station. As soon as you show up and there's a line of Mexican construction workers with a brown paper bag full of beer and the Mexican food they buy there at 8 a.m., you know you've got a good, good, good place, okay? So I drive towards the place. I call. I place my order. And I know everyone wants to know what a world-famous oracle like me orders at a breakfast taco place. So here's what it is. Chorizo, egg, extra cheese. Chorizo, egg, extra cheese. What, Chris? Potato? Did I say potato, Chris? Did I say potato? Look, it's not that I'm anti-potato. I don't get potatoes because there's very rarely a guarantee the potato is going to be the appropriate mushy level to make it worthwhile. How often? See what I mean? I actually like potatoes in there, but sometimes you'll get one that's undercooked. It's like you just bit into an apple. It ruins it. Chorizo, egg, extra cheese. I'm on my way. I call. Hey, it's me. They know me by now. I'm going to order. What are you wanting today? Chorizo, egg, extra cheese. And she goes, I'm sorry, we don't have a chorizo today. And I said, I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. I'm sorry, we don't have the trees in Vlad Deep. I ask a second time. I'm sorry, we don't have any treasure tactic. The exact same pace, the exact same volume. So allow mean Daddy Jesse to tell everybody something. And it really is important. When you are speaking with someone on the phone, maybe on the intercom, you're working fast food, maybe even in person, if you are speaking with someone and you say something, whatever it may be, the sky is blue, and they ask you to repeat yourself, do not say the exact same thing you just did in the exact same tone and the exact same pace. Adjust. They didn't hear you the first time for a reason. Maybe you need to speak up. Maybe you need to speak slower. Maybe you need to change the words you use. But I see this all the time and it drives me bonkers. You'll ask someone to repeat themselves and they'll do exactly what they just did. The same pace, the same everything. Speak up and slow down and enunciate. I had to go over this with one of my sons. He's starting to give speeches in schools. He only goes to one. He's starting to give speeches in school. And I was explaining to him about public speaking, that there are two things people do when they speak publicly and they're wrong. You don't know what to do with your hands. So what you do is you do something awkward with your hands. You stuff them in your pockets, which looks awkward, or you put them behind your back like you're in the military, which looks awkward, or you're fidgeting with them, which looks awkward. Talk with your hands. That looks natural. Make hand motions. Talk to your hands. And when you're speaking in front of people, you're nervous. And when you're nervous, human instinct is to try to get it over with and lower the volume. It's just human nature. Hey, no one will hear me if I just speak really fast. If I just speak really fast like this to get through the whole thing, then I'll be able to survive. Those are both opposite of what you need to do. Speak up and slow down. Speak up and slow down. All right? All right. Now we'll take some calls. 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. You can talk about anything. Just get right to the point. If you want to talk about chalk, we can talk about chalk. I'm all game to talk about natural herbal supplements whenever you're game. Now, don't think that I'm going to be the natural herbal supplement expert. Here's what I know about them. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every day. I've been on this for 2 years. I feel markedly better now than I did 10 years ago. That's how incredible this stuff is. You can read testimony after testimony after testimony. This stuff works. They do know. So if you're on chalk.com, chalk.com, and you have questions, what about this or that? Maybe I can't quite afford this. Maybe I can do that. But if you have those things, ask them. This is not some gigantic corporation who thinks you're just a worthless, annoying customer. They care. They genuinely care. Call them if you want. 50-CHALK-3000. 50-CHALK-3000. All right? All right. Let's talk deficit and what you want to talk about next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, so you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Once again, let's check in with how Juneteenth went in Oakland.
No, they shooting at each other.
I'm sorry. Straighten up. Focus. We need to talk about the budget deficit. You know what? We're going to talk to you real quick first. Just a reminder. 877-377-4373. Just no small talk. Don't cuss. There are kids listening. No, nothing inappropriate. Other than that, you can yell at me. I don't give a crap. Just get to the point when you do it. That's fine. You want to call me a jerk? I am a jerk. Totally fine. Chris, Pennsylvania, go.
Hey, Jesse, you opened the show with a comment from someone who said, all we need to do is follow the Constitution. And I would like to say, instead of following the Constitution, because the communists are ignoring it, we need to follow the Declaration of Independence. And I will read that one line. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security.
I want everyone to marinate on what Chris just said, and then I want you to listen to something. This is going to be difficult to hear. It's a little bit long. What you're about to hear is a press conference. It's right here in Texas. A 12-year-old girl, I'm not going to name her because imagine the devastation of the family. A 12-year-old girl was apprehended by a couple illegals. Illegals who assaulted her in horrible ways. And then those parents, they got to find their daughter's body in a creek, strangled to death. And as you listen to this press conference, and you think about what Chris just said about the people who lead the country and all that, I want you to remember something. The illegals who raped and murdered this precious 12-year-old girl were led into this country on purpose by the people who lead the country. It was done intentionally. Remember, they go on television and brag about how many of these demons they've
had. President Biden, he campaigned on making a safe, orderly, and humane immigration system. Do you believe that that has been accomplished?
We work at that every single day across the Department of Homeland Security, across our administration, with our partners to the south and around the world. We have established more lawful, safe, and orderly pathways than any other administration.
Now I want you to listen to the press conference and tell me if this government is evil enough that the states should begin saying no, no more.
Our team has worked tirelessly tracking evidence in this case since the discovery of Jocelyn by a citizen on the morning of June 17th, 2024. Because of the assistance of the area community and surveillance video that our officers have tirelessly tracked down and other evidentiary pieces, we have found and learned that the suspects began their evening at a Northborough area restaurant together. They left that restaurant on foot, southbound. The suspects continued south and were first seen on a camera, and those are the images that we released to you, to all of you and to the public. Suspects seen meeting the victim and talking for a few minutes while they were on Kirkendall. Later, the suspects and the victim walked together to a convenience store, and those images were also released to you guys and the public. After a few minutes, all three together walked to a bridge where ultimately Jocelyn was murdered. Suspects continue south towards their residence after leaving Jocelyn there. I want to thank the media for their assistance in greatly and broadly releasing the images of the suspects.
Imagine that phone call. Imagine if that was one of my little buddies. And imagine knowing the people who run the country let those animals in on purpose. Time after time after time, they've been let in on purpose.
Christian Inga was arraigned today in New York City on charges of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl after school last week in a shocking daylight attack. Police say the 25-year-old migrant from Ecuador approached two teens in the park at knife point. According to the criminal complaint, the suspect tied the boy and girl to one another, gagged them, then raped the girl before fleeing the scene.
Now, you tell me, am I being extreme when I say the states should begin their own immigration policy? No, we will handle all border security. We will handle deportations. We will handle arrests. We will build entirely new prisons and fill them up with these dirt balls and stack them in there like sardines. States should handle their own law enforcement exclusively. FBI, here's your 30-day notice. Get out or go to prison in the state of Texas. People think I'm the extreme one. I'm the nutball. I say I'm nice. I'm the one presenting the nice solution to you. When the federal government has become hostile to you, openly hostile to you, the states must step up. They must. 877-377-4373. Martin, New York, go.
Yo, Jesse, my question to you is, what does street communists do in case there's World War III? With Biden running this country, you never know. It could happen any time. What do they do? Do they flee the country, or do they stay here and take up arms against patriots attempting to defend our country?
Well, these people, he's talking about the dirty street commies, all the Black Lives Matter types, the Antifa types. So let's be clear about something. These people will never, ever, 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 ever be your friend or ally for any reason. That whole enemy of my enemy is my friend type thing, that will never happen with the street animals. The street animals should all be locked up in cages for the rest of their lives. These are miserable people. They hate themselves. They hate their lives. They hate their country. They're here to burn everything down. But there aren't, as we've talked about this before on the show, there aren't as many of them as the television would lead you to believe. You know, it feels like there must be millions, doesn't there? Every time you turn on the TV, there's a new protest here. There's a Black Lives Matter protest. Oh, look, the degenerates are waving around the penises again. Oh, well, it's the feminists. Oh, not today, it's a college campus. Wow, there must be millions of these people. There are not millions of these people. There are a bunch of organizations that are funded from up on high by these lefty billionaire types, which we've talked about. There aren't that many committed street communists in the country. There are some, for sure, but there aren't that many. And to answer your question, no matter what happens, WW3 or anything else, they will always, always, always be attacking this country because these are the people who believe America is the height of all evil. I've explained it this way. It's the best way I can explain it. What if I could take you right now and put you in a time machine and you're in Germany in 1940? You're in Germany in 1940. What kind of government do you have? Well, not the best. Not the best. Would you view it as your moral obligation to burn your own country down if you were in Germany in 1940? Would you view that as being not just the greater good, the greatest of goods? Stop Germany, would you? Probably. That's how these people view America. I know that's crazy and it's wrong and I get all that. That's how committed these dirt balls are to burning this place down. They view America as the height of all evil. It's why miraculously, I guess it's a big whoopsie, everything they propose ends up destroying something here. Odd, isn't it? Oh, we just have to destroy this. Just let us destroy a little more of this and destroy a little more of that. It's almost as if destruction is the whole point. Anyway, we're going to talk about the deficit, then we'll get back to these in 10 minutes or so. 877-377-4373. And remember, there's always a bonus, a treasured bonus. When you call in, if you call from a Pure Talk phone, what do you get? You get the soundboard item of your choosing. You want to hear? You want to laugh? You can do that. Do we want to talk about heavy things?
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Maybe we need to explain something to Chris.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
Pure Talk's a winner. If you switch to Pure Talk, that makes you a winner, not a loser like Chris. Remember, you will save a ton of money. My bill got cut in half. This is an American company that hires Americans, not those dirty Verizon AT&T types. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly and switch to the greatest frigging cell phone company on earth. Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. All right, we'll dig into the deficit here real quick, and then I'll get right back to these phone calls and things like that. But I just want to stress something. The financial situation in the country. Monmouth just did a poll thing. I won't break down all the nerdy numbers. Who gives a crap about that? But just know about 45% of Americans say they're, or 46% say they're struggling. 45% say they're stable. Only 9% of the country is improving financially. The country is going through a currency crisis. We have a currency crisis. Government has spent and printed so much money that that's why you now can't afford anything. That's why you now have to skip the appetizers at Red Lobster when you go. That's why you can't afford the power bill, the food. That's why you can't go visit family this year. Stress this, not to you. I know you already know this. Please remind Norm and Norma of this in your life when they're complaining about the costs. It's the government's fault. The government keeps spending and printing money. And this is what's wild to me. Okay, so the boat's taken on water. We always use that analogy because it's the best one. Debt is like a boat taken on water. You take on enough, you're gone. If you're a huge boat built really well, you can take on a lot, as we can here in America. Our economy is so big, meaning we bring in so much, there's so much money flowing around that you can take on a lot. But there's never been and never will be a boat that can take on an unending amount. We are officially at the point in this country where the boat is beginning to sink. That's what it means. That's what your finances currently, the jobs market, that's what that is. This is what it looks like when the nation begins to sink. You can't afford things. Things your parents could afford. They're now out of reach for you. Not even possible. Second jobs. Struggling to keep your head above water. That's what's happening right now. That's the financial crisis in the country. So, at this point in time, with a crisis like this, not staring us in the face, I hate saying that as if it's coming. It's here. I need to stress that. This is not going to be some wake up one day and it's an event like Jesus coming back. This is happening now. You are in the middle of it, beginning of it, pick whatever. We're in it. This is our new way of life, and I don't know when it'll stop. And that brings us to where we are now. Because the government is spending you and me out of our standard of living. We're all going lower and lower and lower and lower. I shouldn't say all, but many of us are going lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. It should be bailout water time. Now's the time. The boat is easing underneath the waves. So at a time when we are struggling and we're about to be suffering, they should be bailing out water. Stop the spending. Stop the insanity. Everything stops. Turn on the lights. Cut the music. The party is over. It is cleanup time. At a time when that's what we should be doing, we are intentionally taking more water on. The federal budget deficit this year is going to be $2 trillion. Roughly. Now, I realize that number is so big, I can't comprehend it. You can't comprehend it. The trillions, the human mind can't comprehend trillions. So set that aside. That kind of a budget deficit is the kind you would only ever run if you were in a major war of some kind. World War II, that would be the time when you would run a budget deficit like that. It's all hands on deck. We've got to build a Navy. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. We have to fund our allies. The only acceptable time to ever run a budget deficit that insane is if there is a cataclysmic event worldwide that can end the planet. That's the only time any nation would ever run a deficit like that. We are running a $2 trillion deficit in peacetime. In peacetime. There's no world war. As much as they're trying to start one in Ukraine, there's no world war. There's no nothing. There's no major pandemic, not even one they made up again. There's no major national disaster. And yeah, go ahead and play it, Chris. Chris has Jared Bernstein, chair of the Council of Economic Advisors. Listen to this.
The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
Why does the government even borrow?
Well, some of this stuff gets, some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money, and it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Because they sell bonds and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah, so a lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money and then it uses that money to, I don't know what they're talking about.
I want you to understand that's not a parody. That human being is one of the people setting economic policy in this country. And I can't make people care about the debt and deficit. I know you've probably tried yourself. You can't make people care. Just explain to Norm and Norma the reason you can't afford eggs is because of government spending. And if the people in this country really understood what that meant, every single person who voted for a $2 trillion deficit would be arrested. That's how severe this problem is. That's how severe it's going to be in this country. And there's no light at the end of the tunnel for spending. No one even pretends like they're going to cut spending. Democrats, Republicans used to at least lie about it and act like they would. Now you don't even get that from them. Nothing. Blows me away. And that's exactly why it's so critical that you take advantage of $25 extravaganza sales from MyPillow. Because it's the only way to make your dollar go anywhere in this country. You need some new bedding? Well, MyPillow's right there for you. You need some new towels? MyPillow's right there for you. How about some walk-around sandals in the house? Indoor, outdoor, MyPillow's there for you. $25. Six-piece towel sets, $25. Even the premium MyPillow, the Grand Poobah, the one with the Giza fabric on it, $25. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special Square and use the promo code Jesse. We have to find the deals in this economy wherever we can find them. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or you can call them 800-845-0544. We will talk about the charges being dropped against street commies. Speaking of them, we're going to get to your calls in a moment. 877-377-4373 and so much more in the final hour. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.